You are listening to the OneOfUs.net podcast network.
Hey, Chris, what are you drinking there?
Oh, you never seen one of these before?
No, what is that?
Oh, man, this is brewery in Austin, Circle Brewing. They're right near my house, right up on Breaker Road. They got their own brewery with a bunch of stuff. This is actually, you're gonna think I'm lying. This is, I think, the best American Hefeweizen I've ever had, Circle
Get
Brewer.
Get out.
It's made in America. Yeah, yeah.
Wow. That's high praise coming from you.
We'll take a sip of this thing. Try that.
All right, let me see.
No. That wasn't the Hefeweizen. That was the IPA.
Yeah, no, that was the fantastic.
The Ladybird. Yeah, that's good too. Man, they make a lot of good beers. And like I said, you can come visit them at their tap room right down the street here from me, on Breaker Lane. It's delicious stuff. And they actually became the sponsor for the website, oneofus.net.
Wow. Good guys. And they live right down the street from here.
They certainly do. And you can even get their beer in convenience stores now.
Ah, convenience store. I'm going to just walk over to Circle.
Previously on the final days of Gotham.
Hey, Alan, guess what? It's your favorite time. It's filler time. Woo! Filler episodes galore.
Also, we have a moment of silence for the extinction of the rare breed of cops that actually live to retirement age in Gotham. You didn't know that there was this setting on the dial. You thought Gotham was at full tilt? No. We still had something in the
tank. I didn't think Gotham could surprise me anymore.
No, but see, nothing shocking, just like the title.
The fact that Corey Michael Smith and Robert Lord Taylor have to act off of this fucking puppet and sell the scene 100% seriously is amazing.
And rather than shoot Ted in the face, he turns the gun and shoots the puppet's head off.
I was so happy. I was like, good, I don't have to do that fucking puppet again.
And welcome to the Gotham podcast, everybody. That's right, the inmates are running the asylum this week. Oh my goodness, who's rocking the mic? Why, it's me, Edward Nickma himself. That's right, Nick the Merc of the mic. And riddle me this, who is my illustrious co-host to the left here? He's a little bit pale, his scars may be emotional, but that won't let him stop him from telling you all about how he got them. Travis!
Is that me?
That's you!
Oh, okay, hi, I'm here.
And of course, our podcast would not be complete without the adversarial acid bird flip side of the coin. That is Alan. Alan, what's going on?
Hey, good. I defeated Justin. Now I just have to defeat you two, and I win Gotham.
Oh, so yes, Justin is gone for this one. So we are have taken over, and maybe we'll allow him back on. We're not sure. It all depends. He has gotten himself hitched. He is, I think, as we are recording now, already married.
Oh, okay.
I think it was yesterday as of recording time. Not sure if, when this goes up, but, good for you, Justin. And, I am so sorry that you missed this episode of Gotham. You had a tough decision to make, and it's fine that you made the wrong one.
just at the end of this episode is hilarious.
Okay, and so... It really is interesting how this is the one you missed, but...
I know, it's ironic, isn't it? It's really fitting and kind of funny, but we'll get to that later.
I think that it is... It was almost destiny. I love it. So, yes, we are going to be going through the episode 9 here of Season 5, The Trial of Jim Gordon. What's Season 5 called again? Legend of the Dark Knight. That's right, that's its subtitle. So the episode is directed by the actress that actually plays Barbara, Erin Richards. So that is interesting that this is the one where...
she, like, appears the least in.
I mean, it's the one where Gordon gets the most psychological trauma in, so, fair. I mean, we can figure that one out. The synopsis of the episode is, after Gordon is shot in an attempt to reestablish a ceasefire, he hallucinates a trial for his life that could have deadly real consequences. Meanwhile, Ivy returns and puts her spell on Bruce, leaving Selina to defend herself. Lee has a life-changing moment as Barbara and Penguins consider their next moves. Yeah, I mean, this was a okay one.
Apparently it's also the 100th episode.
Yes, it is. It is the 100th episode of Gotham. And I think it was good, not great, would be my initial takeaway of it. Mm. I mean, we have to come down from Ventriloquist Dummy of last episode.
Oh,
so
God.
They can't all be winners. But let's just get started with the initial plot here. After their KISS reconciliation reunion. Lee and Jim are having an argument, a classic one for all you Gotham watchers. It's Lee saying, "You can't do this all by yourself, Jim. How many times are you going to sacrifice yourself for Gotham?"
And Jim says, "Watch me.
Watch, do it." It's almost like we've seen this scene before. But yeah, he is going off. What is he going off to do to risk his life this time? Why, it's to orchestrate a ceasefire with the remaining gangs left in Gotham.
Yeah, so he's literally collecting all the bad guys into one place and going, "This should be fine, right?"
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, at all Penguin's 12 place. Of them.
At Penguin's place, of all places.
He managed to fit all the Gotham, all the criminals of Gotham in one fucking location, also with the rest of the cops in Gotham, which means there's just 50 people left in Gotham.
Well, for sure, because Gotham is a city of thousands that is somehow still within three blocks. We've established this. You can. There's no set location where you can't fit every character in Gotham.
Mm-hmm.
I love the design of all the goons or henchmen or whatever you want to call them, and they're all like the reject, like. Well,
they're the ones from other Batman movies no one wanted.
Yeah, like
Joel Schumacher Batman.
They're from the bargain bin. Like, they're the Walmart $5 bin of like henchmen.
They're all the extras from that what was the Beware the Batman or whatever show.
Oh, Beware the Batman.
God.
Yeah.
They're all from there.
For all the people that don't remember that, good.
I don't remember that. I can barely remember the name.
Because wouldn't this be great if there were some of, I don't know, established villains like Firefly and Freeze there?
Penguin's there.
Penguin's there and Barbara's there and that's it.
That's it.
I think they actually acknowledge that no one really cares about Mr. Freeze or Firefly. They just don't care.
Do you think we're actually not going to see...
They're cool-ass villains that they did nothing with.
Are we going to not see Freeze and Firefly? Like, no, we'll see them in the
that
finale.
That would have been a dope-ass fight watching those two go at it.
We gotta see them in the finale, right?
Maybe, I don't know.
But yeah, that is, it's interesting how, of course, Jim giving his Captain America style speech, inspiring them. He wants them to commit to a ceasefire in order to, prove to the mainland that they are worth saving, that they can act civilized for at least a week.
Right.
And then hopefully get some water and some supply chain back going. Mm-hmm. Because they're only have, like, what, like a couple months of drinking water?
Yeah, they're running out real fast.
Like
Jim hates drinking water.
Well, I mean, we had to put out those fires.
And that poison. Had to put out that poison with that water.
Well, we can't drink the water from, I'm not sure if we can drink the water from Gotham River to begin with, because is it salt water? Because, again, I don't know where they are. Geographically, I have no idea.
I assume it's not, because they said... drinking water, but who knows?
I don't know.
Like, it's deep enough to have mines and a submarine go through it, so I don't know.
Well, strange enough, it seems to be, at least at first, it seems to be working. Or at least one delegated goon comes up and gives a slight nod. Which
is enough.
Which I guess is the universal signal for, we're with you.
Right.
Yeah.
Until there's a shot, and suddenly everyone starts freaking out, trying to figure out where it's from.
Or rather, what it hit.
Harvey is trying to figure out where it's from. Like, Jim, did you see where the shot came from? And Jim's like, well, not really, but I did see where it went. Because he looks down, and he's got a bullet wound.
I have a few theories as he passes out.
Oh, shit.
Don't worry, I got this.
So, for me, this was weird, because I realized how rarely Jim is shot.
Well, how often do you see One Punch Man get shot?
I know! It was super weird how often he dodges bullets the rest of the series. I was like, huh, it's really weird seeing him on death's door really getting hurt or having consequences for his actions.
Right?
It's funny.
Time.
Usually the consequences for other people.
Yeah, it's funny because I'm not sure if they did this on purpose, because I feel like a lot of this is referenced to season one, because it reminds me of when he got shot and then had to get sent to a vet. I'm not sure if he met Lee there or if he just met another.
No, he met Lee at Arkham Asylum. She was the doctor there.
Yep.
Right. Okay. Yeah. Right. We also got either hurt or some shit happened. But it's like, I feel like there's a couple of things that happened with other characters in this episode. I'm like, you guys are referencing a lot of season one, and I'm not sure if it's on purpose or by accident.
Probably by accident.
Well, Well, the whole, all the Jim story arc stuff is all season one classic of Jim's guilt complex. Can I balance out being this Gotham, a hero Gotham needs while, maintaining my moral code and protecting the ones I love? Now there's a baby on the way, complicating that matters or whatever. So that's, it's pretty standard for Jim. The only new complication is just his newfound fatherhood.
Right.
Is really, kind of plaguing at him.
Well, you know, the main issue here is that they only brought Harvey, so they didn't bring a red shirt. That means one of those two had to be shot.
No, they had some red shirts.
They had seven other cops there.
They had some red shirts.
I don't know. They were on screen.
They just miraculously missed the red shirts.
See, they have to have one speaking line. I think that's the rule.
Meanwhile, Jim is fighting for his life, and they take him back to the, you know, to Lee, and I love how Lee is just like, well, if you want to say I told you so, now's the time. And Harvey is freaking out.
He just starts going around accusing everyone. Like, you did it, and you did it, and you did it.
It's like the end of Clue, where they all did it,
right?
I do love badass, like, vengeance-filled Harvey of, like, we're taking to the streets. We're not giving them an inch. We're taking to these fucking gangs.
Harvey, you have, like, no bullets.
It's like, well,
it's okay. They don't know that.
But I know what you're asking, Gotham listener. Yeah, those guys are fine, ever, but what is Bruce and Selina doing? About Bruce and Selina.
No one's asked that.
And what they're doing, they're going on a date. In a scavenging mission, Bruce is taking Selina on a date, which is cute.
Sure.
Like, yeah, it's kind of cute.
Yeah.
Like, it feels like that there's any mansion with this amount of silverware and stuff left in Gotham that hasn't been looted. Okay. Like,
I mean, apparently, like, again, there's somehow a bunch of old people and crippled people living in Gotham in this post-apocalypse, so...
Well, like Justin was saying in the previous episode of, like, sometimes they just pretend that they're not, like, cut off from the mainland and there's not an apocalypse going on.
No, what you don't know is that Bruce actually, like, scoped this out ahead of time and, like, placed all the silverware there.
Oh.
That he left over from, like, his blown-up home.
Oh, yeah, okay. But he still has a couple of pieces left.
All right. No, I'll buy it. But they are interrupted, though. And who do they interrupt by? Why? It's Ivy Pepper.
Everyone's least favorite villain.
So, what
are you talking about?
Okay, this is...
I sort of, kind of like Ivy. Not really, but sort of. She's better.
I mean,
She's better than when she was the airhead. But my question, I thought her name was Pamela Ivy. Where's that Ivy Pepper shit coming from?
So they can call her Ivy. And not
have
it be her supervillain name.
I thought her name was Pamela Isley. That's the character's name. And I thought they always called her Pamela.
Mm-hmm. But all I know is that in this show, they call her Ivy Pepper. I have no idea. That's.
I feel like they just made that name up for this episode.
I don't know. I think they just did it so that they can call her Ivy and that it was like so fans don't get confused of like, who is that? Who's Pam? Who's Pamela?
Yeah.
It's another season one decision that I don't think was really great.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Also with making Pamela Isley a kid immediately as well.
Well, I mean, that one, it wasn't like the issue. It was the issue like, but we really want to use Ivy. Okay. You can't have both things, guys.
Let's go through two different aging processes.
But so yeah, Ivy shows up, and shit talks Selina for a little bit,
as you do.
And it turns out she's brought the head of the mutant gang, the guy with the Iron Man Hulk gloves.
Sure.
And I love seeing him again. I was just like, oh, so they are going to reuse that, those prosthetics. That's great. Get the most you can out of them. Mm-hmm. And, she grabs up Bruce to take him away and further her plans. More on that later. I find it interesting, too, that Ivy is just like, oh, I saved you. You're walking around because of me. I want you to remember that as you die.
Yeah, I'm like, okay. Huh?
Man, you confuse me, lady. Why did you even help her to begin with?
Because
I remember you did hate her. Like, at least that's what you said.
For some reason.
But yeah, Bruce, tries to, take a punch at her. Ivy seems to have taken some martial arts classes or something, because she can grapple with the best of them.
Yeah.
And he gets a face full of pheromones. He is now under Ivy's control.
Yeah, I remember, like, I don't know, it was last episode or the episode before where Alan, you said, like, Tetch has to go because he's super powerful. Ivy's kind of the same, where she's just like, oh, I could just control people. Apparently, we find out in this episode, she doesn't even have to be there.
Yeah, later.
Yeah, she's only there for, like, she's not even there most of the time. She's there, like, once a season.
And so, yeah, that's what Ivy and them are doing. Meanwhile, Gordon is fighting for his life back in the, you know, morgue slash infirmary that the Gotham PD is using. Lee is freaking out.
Shop.
We start to see inside Gordon's head as the said trial of the episode is conducted inside Jim Gordon's head as his own guilt seems to try and prosecute him. As he is his own prosecutor, he's the defendant. I'm surprised he wasn't the judge. Don't know who that was as the judge.
I don't know, actually.
They should have got the executioner. That would have been way cooler.
They should have, actually.
That would have been cool. I would have liked that. Or maybe Jim's dad. They got an actor for Jim's dad.
Damn. Yeah.
Or maybe just for a quick cameo. Man, now I can't remember his name, but the guy who played Scarecrow in the Nolan movies. Where he was...
Oh, no way they're going to get, what's his face in there? Dunk? No, oh,
yeah,
I his name, but yeah.
Like, when he was the Scarecrow judge in the third one.
Or they could have gotten not Bane to do it.
There's a bunch of people that could have gone versus no one.
Mm-hmm. So that's, like, basically all of Jim's episode is this dream sequence.
Yeah, I don't know. Jim has, like, so much pent-up guilt. I feel like Spider-Man should come and go, like, whoa, guy. That's my thing? Come on now?
That's a thing, though. There's so much pent-up guilt and so many places they could have gone with, and I felt like they went nowhere. I felt it was just, like, Jim is bad! Ha-ha!
Yeah.
The real problem is they take forever to strike on any new ground in these dreams. Like, a lot of this stuff is... You know, Lee is coming up like, we now bring the defendant Lee, state your piece, what has Jim Gordon done to you? It's like, he destroys everything he loves, and there's, like, all this, and it's like, yeah, this is all stuff we've covered in season 2 and 3.
Yeah.
And we actually kind of stopped doing this because this kind of got old.
It's nothing new.
And,
nah.
And so the only thing that was kind of new was that, like, we see the wake, and we see all the villains at the wake, mm-hmm. which is kind of neat.
Yeah.
And then we see him and the kid, the burned up corpse of the kid from Haven, right. Will, I think his name is. And I think that was cool because I was like, okay, he's really thinking about this kid and now he's got a baby on the way and that's what's freaking him out. And then that leads him into the next scene where Lee is asking him, like, if do you want to hold the baby while he's in the electric chair?
Right.
And he says, like, I don't know. And then she just drops
She's
the
like,
baby.
Okay.
Yeah,
and I thought that was a pretty interesting visual metaphor for what Jim is thinking.
Mm-hmm.
So that's basically that's throughout the episode we keep cutting back to Jim's flashback. But honestly, I can't remember exactly when the flashbacks come in and out. But
they happen.
That's the gist of it. We'll come back to him once he wakes up. Spoilers: he does wake up,
sadly.
And. But we haven't solved the mystery of who has shot him.
Hmm.
So Harvey has gone, like Travis has said, he's gone off accusing absolutely everyone.
So, honestly, he goes to Penguins and Barbara's there. He's like, you did it, and you did it, and this bullet did it?
He almost wants to go to the bullet, like, tell me what you know!
Makes a seance for the bullet.
What is VZ? Yeah, he finds a bullet. And I love how he accuses Penguin first and then Barbara of, like, you really think I would kill the father of my child?
Yeah.
Yes. Yeah. Yes, I do.
Still kind of, yeah.
I 100% do. In fact, I still do. In fact, you know what? You're under arrest.
For future crimes, you will
I
commit.
I don't think Barbara gets to be as uppity as she is here. Like, do you think I would do that? Yeah. Kinda.
Stop asking that question. You ask that question every episode. Do you think I would be like that, Jim? Do you think I would do that, Jim? Do you think I'd kill these people, Jim? Yes. The answer is always yes.
Do you mean other than the other 2 or 3 times you've tried to kill Jim Gordon? Or am I only counting season 2? Are you fucking kidding me, Barbara? Like, you can't be
did she forget season 2 happened?
You know, it would be like a Catwoman. Like, it's like, Catwoman, I think you stole that thing.
What? Me?
How dare you? It's behind your back. I have, like, never. Like, it makes
Penguin
no sense.
Penguin has the audacity to be like, would I lie to you right now? What do I have to lose? Like, at least he'll tell you straight up. Like, when he shot down the... It's like, I would have told you right here, right now, if I shot down the helicopter. Mm-hmm.
Penguin's a pretty honest criminal, to be fair.
Yeah.
And I wonder how far along they are on that submarine.
I don't know. Ed wasn't in this episode at all. Let's assume it's going to be dumb in the next episode.
Oh, he was playing on the piano in the dream sequence.
Was he?
A little bit.
Yep. Well, yeah, but he wasn't. Oh, okay, but he wasn't in any of the outside sequences.
Right,
so. For sure. But who is why the perpetrator of the assassination attempt, it turns out, is Victor Zsasz, because Harvey finds VZ on the bullets, a bullet used, even though that is not how bullets work.
That is how bullets work. You can keep engraving, but they generally don't survive because of, you know, heat and trajectory and impact.
Right,
and
right.
Criminals, because, stop writing your names on bullets. It's really, really bad for them.
I mean, sure, do I believe that the name was carved on the bullet before it was shot?
Yeah.
Sure. Do I believe that you can reconstruct it and see the...
Well,
it
apparently came onto, like, two perfect halves. I'm like, no, they crumple, they don't, like...
I barely bought it when they did it in The Dark Knight, where he has that 3D, like, printer thing or
right.
whatever.
And, a 3D printer actually be more believable, but they wouldn't allow that in Gotham, because that's, like, heretical technology.
No, for sure. Like, what, exactly. What's next? Are we going to allow condoms? Are you crazy? You're crazy. And so Zsasz also shows up at the police precinct around this time to just start shooting up the place. And I me and Travis watched this together, and I was like, Zsasz assaulting the police station. Good times.
Must
just
be,
like,
yeah.
Just like old times. Doesn't it feel
just like
season
one?
It's like, feel like season one.
Must be a day that ends in Y.
I think even Darby later is like, I'm sick of getting shot at my own damn precinct. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, maybe put some bars on the door, man.
Right.
Or maybe have, I don't know, security. But I really actually like that sequence, because when the first time Victor Zsasz comes in with two guns standing on a table, he tells all the cops to leave as he's going to shoot Gordon, and all the cops leave. This time, when he's basically tried to kill Gordon, jumps on there, instead of all the cops leaving, they're defending Gordon. They're trying to save his life, and I like that change. I don't know if this is on purpose or by accident, but I like that full circle of now the cops are with Gordon. They're no longer against him.
Yeah, mm-hmm. They still don't do much, because they just kind of hide behind their desks.
Well, obviously they see, because they see, I thought, like, what are they doing? Because they're not shooting, but they're holding their position. I'm like, what are they doing? And then some of them are even looking at Zsasz, but not quite. I'm like, oh, wait a minute, someone is sneaking up behind Zsasz, and then who should save the day? Why, it's Alfred. Comes out of nowhere and just takes out Zsasz, and then he says, you've been buttled! Okay, he doesn't say that, but...
But you thought he
should have.
But he should have. If I wrote this episode, he would have. And, so...
And that goes on, like, Alfred's, like, repertoire of, am I useful in this episode or not?
Sometimes.
As long as he's not fighting clowns.
Yeah.
Or hypnotists.
Yeah.
It's fine. And so Zsasz, they're interrogating Zsasz. And it becomes quickly apparent that Zsasz has fallen in love. He's found a new love. And, of course, we all know what that means. Like, oh, shit.
I love Zsasz so much.
Yes.
Man, this scene was great. Like, even him under Ivy's control, he still has that Zsasz charm.
Mm-hmm.
Like, everyone else seems kind of like a weird robot version of themselves. Zsasz is still Zsasz.
Yeah.
He's just Zsasz in love. Like... Like, I'm really not supposed to say her name, you know, like, Ivy Pepper. No, you see, you said it, not me. Like, he's so...
I just like hearing it.
I love hearing her name. Yeah, just great. And, yeah, so I love this because I was like, oh, the two plots are going to interconnect. That's interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Like, because, you know, that's not always how it works in Gotham.
No.
It's usually the opposite.
And, yeah, what happens next in the...
Bruce goes to do his thing, that Ivy...
Right, and Bruce is going to shut down the water, like, the water filtration mm-hmm. system with Lucius. He's going to go shut it down so that the water is still contaminated.
Because apparently this toxin only affects people and not plants in any way, shape, or form.
See, I didn't get that. Is that how it works?
Okay, so
that's what he's
what happened,
said.
Yeah, because
they said the plants
the
would adapt, but I don't know if that's how that works.
Yeah, well,
surprisingly enough, that is how it works. Plants can generally adapt and survive just about anything. They'll be a bit fucked up, but they generally don't die unless it's really bad.
Okay. But also, Ivy's just kind of dumb.
Sure.
Like,
yeah,
even this
too.
Ivy is kind of dumb.
Yeah, I don't think she fully thought through this plan, to be honest. Although she did think through the part of where she gives Bruce a vial of perfume mm-hmm. that also it hypnotizes people for Ivy, even though she's not there.
And apparently whoever... See, this is the part where I got really confused, because, like, they hypnotize him, and then Bruce gives Lucius a command. And then later, when Bruce gets broken out of the hypnotism, it's like, okay, can't you just still give him a... You're the one that gave him the command in the first place. Couldn't you just give him a command to stop? Saying,
yeah,
Ivy doesn't want you to do this anymore. I love Ivy. Mm-hmm. I'll stop.
Yeah, I was like, that's way easier than getting Selena to kick him in the face.
Mm-hmm. Nah, we gotta hit people in the face. Yeah. It's always true. The good... It works in the Avengers with Hawkeye. If there's a good knock to the head, just gets rid of mind control.
Electricity.
We didn't have a defibrillator nearby. We had to work with what we had, mm-hmm. okay? If there was electricity nearby, we obviously would have used that.
Right.
Oh, my God.
Because that's the go-to.
Someone got defibbed in the head on this show. Oh, my God.
And...
God.
So, Ivy, meanwhile, is kind of disappointed at Zaz. She comes in to bust him out, use him as a distraction, mm-hmm. and gives him a whole arsenal. I did like the moment where, before she comes in, Zaz is talking to the guard. What's his name? It's like, you know what? You're going to find a girl one day, or you're going to find someone one day, and, you know, a partner, someone you can share your life with. Someone that just makes you feel like I feel, and it's going to be special. Bam, he gets shot in the head, or not. And I was just...
Yep, R.I.P. random guard.
And I was like, God damn it. That one.
Poor guy.
And then, of course, we get a classic police station, inside the police station shootout. Mm. Haven't had one of those in 2 or 3 episodes, I think.
Something like that.
No, yeah, it's been a while since the police have been shot at inside the precinct, so...
I mean, at least it actually makes a little bit more sense in, like, a post-apocalyptic Gotham, where it's like, yeah, anyone could just do that.
Yeah. And I do love that Ivy goes in to kill Jim herself, and while he's having all the dream sequences and everything, mm-hmm. Lee is trying to save him, gets the tries to get the adrenaline... Ivy comes in, they have a fight scene for a little bit, and I do love Lee's intermittent badassness.
Mm-hmm.
Like, can Lee fight, or can she not fight? I can't really tell.
Depends on what scene it is.
It depends on if she's in an arrows or not.
She shot those two soldiers from before,
right.
You know that. And then now she can work the scalpel a little bit, but and, you know, they tussle for a little bit. And until Lee actually gets a shot into Ivy, I was like, oh shit. I did not actually expect that. I thought she was going to get, last for a little bit longer. But apparently it's not a kill shot or even a slow you down shot
yeah.
because she runs off.
And doesn't immediately open fire more. Like, why would you keep shooting?
Because she's a doctor.
Tell him, man, I'm a doctor, not a marksman.
What are you talking about? She shot, like, so many people. She shot that woman in the arrows in the head just because she was kind of annoyed with her.
No, Sophia Caccone did bust up her hand, so she was kind of mad. And,
no,
you know,
that's the other woman she shot in the head.
Oh, that's right.
She's murdered a lot of people, is what I'm getting at.
Well, I mean, a lot of people for a regular person. In Gotham, it's like baby steps for her.
Right. She's like just a random citizen at this point.
Yeah, like, I mean, who hasn't killed like, a couple people?
That granny that Nigma threw out the window has killed 6 minimum.
Yeah, you didn't see the embroidered skulls in the back?
Yeah.
No, I saw the tats on her neck. She has 6 kills. I got it.
She's Zaz's grandmother.
She's... Yes! Yes!
Alright.
Why do we keep giving headbands to this random woman who died like 6 episodes
because
ago?
So like, it is a random woman that this rich woman living in a wheelchair in a post-apocalyptic environment in her apartment for months and just shows up just so Enigma could kill somebody.
Also, it's a lot funnier if she deserved it, you know? It's not as... It's kind of darker
it's
if it's just a little old lady.
If she deserved it.
Yeah, she's Ivy does smash the adrenaline before she leaves, so it leaves Lee only the option to do some CPR and try and get to Jim to wake up.
Well, didn't she actually use a defibrillator?
Oh, wait, yeah, she was...
Yeah, she does use electricity.
The actual reason to use a defibrillator?
Yeah. She actually does it in the correct way. Like, yep, his heart is
stopped.
Oh, she
doesn't put it to his head?
You should definitely defib him. Meanwhile, Harvey takes out Zaz, because he gets an idea that is real stupid.
I don't know. It's literally what Nigma did on another episode ago.
Sure. Yeah. And his plan is to get the Kevlar armor that Nigma was wearing so that he can full body tackle Zaz. okay.
Sure.
Like, I loved it that it was like, it was a plan, but it was a Harvey plan, which didn't really have many steps to it.
Step one, put on armor. Worked. Step two, tackle.
Tackle.
Step three, profit.
I liked it. I thought it was a good moment for Harvey. I actually liked Harvey in this episode a lot.
Yeah.
I think he stepped up. He was doing detective work. Mm-hmm. He had his whole, he was scared for Jim, but he had to pull it together for the troops.
Right. He found the trajectory of the bullet to find it.
Yeah. Yeah. He really pulled through in this episode. He was good in the clinch. Good for you, Bullock. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And, so Jim does eventually wake up as his final hallucination is being in the electric chair and getting shocked to death. That coincides with the defib to actually wake him up. And then Lee is like, oh my goodness, I can't believe you almost died. Oh no. And for whatever reason, this dialogue between Lee and Jim, like whatever, when she was screaming when he was dying, I don't know, it felt like weird to me.
Yeah.
Like it was just like her yelling, and I was like, for whatever reason, this isn't selling to me for whatever reason. I don't know. Did anyone else feel like that?
No, I got it. The next abrupt cut after that bugged me, but I was okay with their reactions.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Yeah, it didn't seem to stick out too much to me.
Oh, meanwhile, of course, Bruce and Selena have a fight scene, which is actually kind of cool. It doesn't last very long. Yeah. But
because Ivy's hypnotism is really easy to actually get rid of. Like, a heart slap to the face gets rid of it.
Yeah. So, Bruce and Selena fight until Selena, like, reveals, like, you're gonna leave me anyway. Like, a little bit of her hidden fears, I guess. Mm. And until Bruce snaps out of it, they snap Lucius out of it. And they save the water filtration system, I guess. Like, it apparently was not that. I thought there was going to be more involved with that, honestly.
It's like, nope, just got to stop him.
Like, more than a couple
buttons.
Not only
was it easy to fix, it was easier to fix than we thought.
Yeah, it was surprisingly easy to fix. In fact, I guess Poison Ivy's plan was not foolproof after all. But yeah, meanwhile, Jim and Lee, like, I love this, of course. Jim is like, I'm worried about being a dad and, this kid, and Lee's telling him it's okay to be scared, and it's a nice back and forth here. And then, of course, we get the classic soap opera thing of, like, can I ask you something? Well, of course, but first let me lean in so that the audience whispery. Can't hear it.
Oh, yeah.
But then immediately next scene, you see, obviously, what he asked her.
That bugged me. That was so an abrupt cut, because I was like, wait, did we actually finish all the plot lines? Is everything solved? Because this is a really bad jump cut.
Mm-hmm. I mean, Ivy got shot and is off somewhere, but
I like to imagine that what he actually asked, like, he actually proposed a week later, and then what he actually asked, like, can I ask you something? Should I grow a mustache?
I'll buy you one from the prop store down the street.
I've been thinking about it, and I don't know, maybe facial hair is a way to go for me. Like, especially with the dad look. I don't know, Lee. I've been really struggling with this decision. Like, oh, by the way, also, would you want to get hitched?
No, it's that she says, shut up and marry me.
And, yeah, so we cut to 1 month later, where the wedding between Lee Tompkins and Jim Gordon, and Harvey is officiating, even though I'm pretty sure he has no authority to do so.
He said that himself, actually.
So, not sure how legally binding this marriage is, but whatever.
Well, there's also no laws in Gotham, so...
Not at the moment, so everything goes.
But then again, does it also mean that they had one whole entire month with nothing exploding or going wrong? Because I feel like then the unification should be happening, right?
Right, like I would think.
Well, we don't know nothing went wrong, we just know that the wedding happened a month
later. I assume that if they have enough spare time to fucking focus on a wedding, get outfits for it, like, where are they getting wedding outfits?
Right,
what?
Because finding someone who can, like, legally perform a marriage is actually a lot easier than finding venue and time to plan a wedding.
Yeah.
No, they just use the GCPD. The Jim always wears a suit, and all they had to do was get one of Chech's victims' wedding dresses. It kind of honestly just worked out.
Can we get... Hey, do we have enough time to go to the clothing store? We get into some tuxes or something? Like, yeah, actually, a lot of the clothing is all left there. Mostly, ever since it started happening, people immediately went for the leather stuff. Like, that's all that got cleaned out immediately. But most of the soft textiles, yeah, that's all good.
Welcome to the apocalypse. Here's your leather.
Like,
yeah, knife wounds and all.
And
it's motif.
So we get a cute little marriage ceremony between Lee and Jim.
That Barbara was clearly not invited to.
I wouldn't invite her. Like,
I wouldn't invite Penguin or Riddler either. They weren't. Neither of them were there too.
No, you're just inviting that whole moment of like, does anyone object to this union? Like, yeah, don't bring any of those people.
I'd bring Penguin.
I was waiting for a gunshot, honestly. I don't know. Maybe I watched too much Game of Thrones. At every wedding, someone dies. I was waiting for just a gunshot.
And, yeah, so Selena and Bruce also, they have one of these conversations that I also, I love for TV shows and movies and stuff, where, like, 1 month later, but I'm going to talk to you about this thing that happened 1 month ago.
Mm-hmm.
That we probably should have talked about a couple days afterwards.
Right.
But it's a Sorry, month later now. But the audience didn't see us talk about that, so I guess I'm going to talk to you about it now, even though it's really weird a month later to be bringing this up to you in this scenario at a wedding, like, when we're supposed to be doing something not in private. It feels like this is kind of a personal moment. You know what? Let's just watch the wedding.
Like, yeah.
I just love that. Like the writers felt like, well, we should bring this up to not deal with it at all,
right?
But we should bring it up to make sure that the audience remembers what happened, but yet not, you know, deal with it at all.
Like, that's a TV trope. I'm not going to give Gotham that for shit I see all the time in other shows.
Yeah, it's just annoying that it's so common, though.
I love the shit Alan decides to give and not give Gotham. Like,
I'm sorry, I see that all the time where it's like, oh man, I'm glad we waited until nighttime to leave, like so 8 hours to leave this fucking room.
If ventriloquist dummies were a more common trope in TV shows, you would be more willing to let that go. You're probably,
I mean, yeah,
you
know what, I saw it more than the one time I've ever seen it.
You know,
yeah.
What, Alan, you know what? Your problem with is the same as mine, is that there's not enough ventriloquist dummies in TV. I'm glad we could come to this consensus.
Wow.
Look, I thought it's that either all the time or zero, apparently.
Justin, I'm so sorry. I thought we could get one episode without you without the children fighting, but clearly
we're not fighting. I'm just right.
Like, you are not right. You couldn't be less right.
I am running this show. I am always right. And especially
that
when...
is not how that works at all. Justin's been running this show as you've been wrong about Gotham since we started.
Yeah, but I'm also editing this one, so guess who's getting edited out?
You can't edit me out.
Oh, I meant that part specifically, and then I'm just going to need a clean version of Nick, you were right. So, Alan, if you could give me that at any time.
That is never going to happen.
All right, fine. I'll go back in and clip it. I'm sure there was, Nick, you're an asshole, and I was right, and then your was probably somewhere. I can get it.
Good luck with that.
Don't challenge me.
He's been the next week trying to do that one thing.
What were we talking about?
Gotham.
Goddamn.
It's just 30 seconds. Oh, no, I was
And then we see a final scene of Barbara. Oh, you know what? I completely forgot about Barbara and Penguin scenes in the show.
Yeah.
Because Barbara and Penguin are talking to each other throughout the scenes. The first one is just them talking about after Jim gets shot of like, hey, did you do it? No. Did you do it? No. But they have another one where Barbara actually takes care of the gangs. Like, she actually...
Right. Okay, that was a good scene.
She does the ceasefire. I'm glad surprised I forgot about this scene, because actually one I really liked with the gangs coming
to the
Sirens.
She makes a toast to all of them saying that how Jim's dead, mm-hmm. and they all drink to it. And it's like, okay, and now you're going to some come to a ceasefire, or I'm going to kill you. That's ridiculous. No, I've already killed you. It's just a matter of not if you survive it or not.
So, fun fact for all you criminals, if you're all taking a shot and the person that hands you the shot does not drink one, do not finish drinking it because it's poison.
Right.
Yeah, that's what I was weird too, because I'm like, wait, Barbara's not going to drink that, right? Because she's pregnant and then, like, she doesn't drink it. And I'm
oh,
like,
that too.
I'm like, oh, wait a minute.
No, I called that immediately. I'm like, well, that's
I
all
didn't
poison.
Think about
that's
that,
a Cersei
actually.
Move right there. That's some Game of Thrones shit.
Yeah.
Did like the one guy was like, so, you all drink poison? You had two before we started this, so you're dead. 5, 4, oh, you're dead.
What did I do? You were greedy. You didn't wait for anyone else. That's just rude.
Yeah.
And that's not how poison works. That's not how time works.
Well, he had three times the dose as everybody else. So when
everyone
else gets 48 hours, he only got like 15 minutes.
35 seconds.
Like, no, 15.
No, because he had drank previously. So right. It's like it could have been 15 minutes.
Was he there for
know.
12 hours?
Like... Yeah, so 15 minutes times 3 equals 40. Oh, wait a minute.
Yeah, that's what I'm getting at. Like, this math doesn't work out.
It's Gotham math. They're building a submarine.
They
let
down.
It go.
For every drink, it actually takes the square of the amount of time.
We're not, man. Now we're one step away from an algebra question. So if
sorry,
the poison
my calculator, y'all,
if the poison
that
drink leaves the Gotham station at 5:15 a.m.
And kills six people,
and the bad
the
guy
way
drinks it at 6:10 a.m.
How many watermelons fall out of a cart?
And then, but if one of them eats a miracle seed, then oh,
do they have to drink one? Do they have to eat one miracle seed for each shot?
I would assume you get one miracle seed per death, so however many shots it takes to
or
kill
you.
Or
does each death you know only work for one? Like, does each MacGuffin work for one death?
Well, I'm assuming that the seeds are like Mario lives, Mario heads, okay, like when you use them up. Like,
do you shrink afterwards?
I would think that you...
Can we try killing Selena? I want to see if she shrinks.
Mm-hmm. Well, you don't even want to eat the one that gives you the fire flower. That's just weird. Like, that...
It's a bit weird.
What were we talking about?
I have no idea.
We've gone off the rails.
Who anyway, could, if you do do the math known? and root every single drink with a shot, it would be about an hour and 20 minutes. So if he was there an hour and 19 minutes prior, she would have timed that properly.
See? There you go.
I love that Alan did the math on it.
Yeah. I figured you guys were doing your bit. I got mine ready.
Exactly. I feel like you guys were screwing around. I thought I'd get some actual work done.
Like Penguin in this episode.
Okay.
Or not Penguin, a Riddler.
Riddler, yeah, he's off doing something.
He's off basically just hammering a bunch of steel, thinking he can make a submarine out of this.
And then, of course, Barbara and Penguin are at the very end of the episode after the wedding. They are talking. Penguin is like, I know what you did. It wasn't to get in Gordon's good graces. You wanted to prove to them that you had changed, and it didn't work. Ha ha. And, like, so Barbara's like, well, I'm going to take his baby and I'm going to leave Gotham with it. He's like, he'll hunt you to the end of the earth. Let him. Got him. And
good luck.
And then, yeah, so that was it. I
Cause,
love...
Because she's not a wanted criminal or anything.
Mm-hmm. I did love the, you know, Barbara was like, I poisoned some convicts for him so that they would stop killing each other every once in a while. What more?
Why won't he love me?
I stopped killing a lot of people, like only like a couple, like, and only in like the most self-defense.
I would have laughed if it's like Peng was like, so did you ever give him back the cure? The cure to what? Oh. And it just cuts all the criminals to Gotham dead? Shit, I probably should have done something.
Hey, well, that probably works out too.
Right?
Is there anything else I forgot to mention during the episode here?
No, we got everything.
I think you just, like, this episode essentially proves your theory that Barbara's going to die.
Oh, do you think? Do you think that's a pretty solid theory?
I still think Lee's biting the bullet.
Well, I'll tell you what, it would be more tragic if they get married and then Lee dies.
True.
But... giving Barbara going like, I'm gonna leave. I'm like, sure you are. Yeah, you're
she
gonna
has
leave.
The baby, you have plot armor for a while.
Baby, yeah, plot armor.
You're gonna get out of here with that baby for sure. Yep, that's what's
this
gonna happen.
Mad Max Fury Road. You got plot armor for a while.
I did like what was it? Alfred had a moment with Lee here too of like, caring for the people that you love, even if they're like they're danger seekers, because he has the same thing with Bruce, and Alfred has a good moment with that too. It's like, all you can do is really like just enjoy the good times, man. Like just that ride it out, because what are you going to do? Not love them? Mm-hmm. Like that's just not how it works. Yeah. And I thought it was a good moment for Alfred there of just like good fathering on his on his part.
Good buttling.
Good buttling exactly. This episode and good fathering. And. Yeah, I was thinking that Lee might have been a double agent for a while, but after this episode, I'm like, actually, that wouldn't make a lot of sense.
That'd be like, that'd be a really long con.
It would have to be where she was being controlled by the chip still, and that doesn't, like, they already got rid of it.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought she might have been a willing double agent, and like, it was really fucking them over.
That'd be amazing.
But I was like, that's what it was my running theory was, but I'm like, yeah, after this episode, I'm like, yeah, I think that's out the window. This is very elaborate. Although
we completely
I do wonder,
forgot about Walker.
Where the fuck is Bane and Walker?
Yeah, I have no idea.
We completely forgot about them after
they've been gone for like what, like a month and a half now.
Yeah,
in the universe, yeah.
So, yeah, I mean, they've got to come back in the story at some point.
Probably.
Like we've only got like what is it? This is only was it out of 12?
This was 9, right?
Was it?
This was number 9, I think, out of 12.
Out of 12?
So, yeah, we have 3 more.
Man, we're coming down to the wire, guys.
Yeah.
That's going
to
be
you want them to be important villains. Yeah, better speed it up.
At this point, this would be Justin would tell you what the preview was showing, but we don't watch the previews. Alan, did you watch the preview?
I actually actively don't watch the previews because I want to kind of be surprised the next episode.
Me too, and I actually get kind of mad at Justin when he tells me what's coming up next.
Oh, we yelled at him one time because he would just text us like after he watched the episode. Yo, man, you guys are going to love this episode, man. When this guy shows up, it's like, stop. Oh, my God.
Remind me to tell you the time Justin spoiled Hold the Door for me.
Oh, he spoiled.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that's fun.
But it's okay. Man. It's not like I'm bitter about it or anything, Justin. It's totally cool.
It's actually the main reason he had me go through and watch all of Game of Thrones because of that one text. Because he's like, no, amazing. I need to experience it so I have to watch you suffer.
Let's just say you're lucky your wedding wasn't a red one, goddammit. Or, you know
that's
what?
Like, oh, that's bad.
Watch out for bells. Watch out for Jervis Tetch watches and bells, you son of a bitch. I'm coming for you and what I'm assuming is your lovely fiancé.
Not anymore.
Not anymore. At this point, I'll be your lovely wife. But exactly. Yes, in dedication to the marriage of not only two of our main characters, but of one of our hosts, I bring this episode, run by the Insane Asylum inmates, to a close. Thank you, everyone, for listening and bearing with us as Justin will hopefully be back with us next week. But before we get out of here, I would like to let people know where they can find everyone involved listening. Alan, where can they find you on the interwebs and stuff?
All right. If you go to Facebook and type in Midnight Chat Attack, you will see the orange logo, and you will see a bunch of embedded links to Twitch and YouTube and all the places to hear me incoherently babbling about all sorts of things. So be sure to check that out. That's Midnight Chat Attack.
Sounds good. And of course, you can follow me and Travis on all of our podcast-related projects, including the UGO podcast, Unapologetic Geek Out, or Pod Against Evil, our Stand Against Evil podcast, and of course, our movie, TV, Netflix review show, Netflix and Kill, where we review killer movies and TV shows on Netflix. It's a good time. All of that is available on iTunes and Stitcher, and where all good podcasts are available. And until next week, guys, we're out of ham. I mean, we're
good. We have to go get more.
We got to go get some more. So see you next time, guys.
It seems our collaborative co-hosts are in quite the precarious position.
Has the nefarious ne'er-do-well Nick gone mad with power?
Will Alan ever remove that giant stick from his ass?
Will Justin ever be forgiven for spoiling Game of Thrones?
These answers and more next week. Same ham time, same ham channel.